You're listening to the Rubber Chickens Unleashed.
7 seconds left on the play clock. Shotgun snap, four-man front, Davis right side. Davis inside the 30, 25 cutback, now outside at the 10, needs one block, five, strolls into the end zone. Touchdown, Carolina. Touchdown, Mike Davis, 37 yards out on a third down. A great block from Shaq Rowland. Welcome back to Williams-Brice Stadium, Mike Davis. Davis moves to the right side of Dylan Thompson. East Carolina showing like they may blitz. They do bring an extra man. Thompson's got time. Looking left side, wide open. Caught. Touchdown, Carolina. Touchdown, K.J. Brent from 16 yards out. The first touchdown of his career that puts the Gamecocks up 26-16. The extra point upcoming.
Well, you know just what to do to me the way.
Hello, Gamecock Nation, and welcome to TRC Unleashed, episode number 69. TRC stands for the Rubber Chickens, and you can find our writings at therubberchickensblog.com. Follow us on Twitter at RUBRChickens. Like us on Facebook. I'm your host, Buck, coming to you from North Atlanta, and I am joined by T-Bone from somewhere in Pickens County and the G-Man from the Governor's Mansion in Columbia. So, guys, since this is episode number 69, I've got a pop quiz for you.
Oh, cool.
The number 69 is the favorite number of two fictional characters from what 1989 movie? Let me ask you that again. The number 69 is the favorite number of two fictional characters from what 1989 movie?
1989 is throwing me because I would have said Fast Time at Ridgemont High, but that's not.
No, I can't believe you guys aren't getting this. All right, I guess I got to.
Hold on.
Give Harry us a hint.
Harry Met Sally.
No.
Oh, Harry Met Sally. That's the most G-Man answer I've ever heard to eat.
All right, one of these two guys went on to superstardom despite his dopishness.
Dumb and Dumber?
Dumb and Dumber.
Think The Matrix.
Keanu Reeves,
the time travel thing.
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure or whatever.
There you go. Wow, hey. I can't believe it took that much to drag.
I hope that's relevant to something.
Well, it's because this is episode number 69. And, you know, they meet up with evil Ted and evil Bill, and they don't believe that they're who they are. And they're like, hey, if you guys are us, what's our favorite number? It's like 69. So
tonight on TRC, at least we talk about stupid movies from the 80s.
Half of the four people that were listening have now clicked the stop button. So, all right, let's talk some football then. We bounced back with a win over East Carolina, 33-23. It was a rough start. And I'll go ahead and let everybody know, I was watching the game on TV at home. G-Man was just getting to his 50-yard line seats after being on the field for all the pregame festivities, and T-Bone was somewhere in the mountains without a TV. So,
no TV?
It's the whole football karma that we've got going with TRC. You know, Buck was doing what Buck does.
Right.
But since G-Man had this excellent setting, it had to throw me off.
Right, so you like went in the complete other direction, and
yeah,
we're trying to keep up with the game via Twitter.
Via Twitter, which, by the way, all of our wonderful Twitter followers who we love and support and would never say anything evil about, y'all are a bunch of head cases when you can't actually see the game and you're trying to piece together what's happening in between panic tweets.
Right. It is funny because I had to do that for the Citadel game a couple of years ago. I was following on Twitter and it's like there is no play-by-play. It's just like tweets like, oh my God, I can't believe that happened. Or, you know, it's like, well, what? You're sitting there, what happened? I don't understand.
Or somebody will say, oh great. And you're like, do they mean oh great or do they mean oh great?
Right. Well, the beginning of the game the other night was an oh great. Spurrier I would imagine we won the toss. I don't know that we won the toss. I know we got the ball first. And Steve Spurrier was determined to come out and establish the run. Mike Davis did not start. I think Brandon Wilds got the first two carries, and then we run a quarterback draw on third down and didn't get it, had to punt it away. And I know of at least one Twitter follower who began bashing Dylan Thompson at that moment.
Yeah.
Because it's reasonable. Draw. It's reasonable to bash him because he ran a quarterback draw. But
it's somebody else called. But anyway.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So East Carolina marches down the field, looked a lot like Texas A&M, just in different colored jerseys. You know, fortunately, we held them to a field goal. We get the ball back. First pass by Thompson is high. Second pass is picked off. East Carolina kicks another field goal. And, you know, we were very fortunate they only got field goals on those first two possessions. That hurt them very badly down the road. And then we got to see the real Mike Davis finally back again. And things were off and running. Let me ask you this. You guys, have you both watched the replay of the game? I know T-Bone has. G-Man, have you watched it?
Saw bits and pieces.
So a Georgia fan that I work with pointed this out to me. Does Davis look a little heavy?
He's got hurt ribs. He's got hurt ribs. He's wearing some kind of jacket.
I don't know. He looked a little chunky.
How that's affecting his ham hocks, which prodigious.
Right. His legs are huge, so that probably has something to do with it. But, you know, we get on the board, go up 7-6, and East Carolina comes back down for a 13-7 lead, and then our defense finally started playing after that. East Carolina scored 13 points on their first three possessions, and then they only scored 10 points on their next seven. T-Bone, what do you think happened with the defense there?
Well, I think there's three issues with our defense, and I think you saw two of them kind of start working themselves out. I don't think they're solved, but one of our problems is generating a pass rush.
Right.
The other is physical play, tackling in space, and the third one is kind of a mystery where our linebackers are not matching up with our secondary guys, and it's creating some openings. That one I don't know that we ever fixed, but what we saw slowly starting to work itself out is we started generating a little bit of a pass rush, and our guys started tackling. Tackling improved incredibly through the course of that game, especially from our safeties. So I think that's what we contributed to over the course of the game. You know, I don't know what that makes us think about for next week, but, you know, we're not there in the podcast yet.
Yeah, and G-Man pointed it out to me. T.J. Gurley seemed to make a big difference back there this game, don't you think, G?
I do. I mean, he popped somebody one time, and it was a completed pass over the middle that they completed for about 15 yards, but he popped somebody, which is the first time I think we've actually delivered a blow all season.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he made the pick. You know, when he was going well, when he was a freshman, before he got hurt, I mean, he looked like the second best defensive back we had after Swearinger that year. And then he got hurt, and it's just taken him a while. I mean, last year he was out there, you could tell he was a step slow. They tried to play him, but he just was not ready. And I thought he looked pretty good in the A&M game, you know, all things considered. He looked about the best that we had back there, even though everybody looked bad. But I was just I was impressed by him and pleased to see him rolling back into form, which we desperately need a physical presence back there in the secondary.
Well, and he's going to get some shots this week because he's going to be up in the box a lot in run support, and that's right up. That's his game, man.
Well, we have to. We got to bring him up. I mean, right. I know we're not talking about that game yet, but we're going to have to bring him up and make him throw it.
Another little point on the defense before we move on. Bryson Williams obviously carrying an arm injury. What did y'all make of those super long sleeves he was wearing the whole game?
He wears those every game.
Yeah, that's not new.
I didn't know if that was something he was doing to try to mask the support, the elaborate truss system he had holding his lower arm on.
No, and the funny thing is with all this fitted equipment that everybody wears right now, you know, and it's really tight on their arms and everything, he wears like a loose-fitting long-sleeve T-shirt that you'd get from a beach shop at Myrtle Beach or something like that. I mean, it's like baggy on his arms and everything. It looks like he's wearing a cloth trash bag or something.
If he took his shoulder pads and everything off, you kind of feel like it's got an airbrushed caricature of him as his girlfriend.
Right.
Now, do we know if this injury is the same injury he had late last year? Because, you know, when he intercepted that ball against Clemson in the latest victory over Clemson, he was injured then. I mean, you remember he came off the field dragging his arm and all that?
Yeah, I think it is the same one. It's the right arm again.
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought that was a shoulder. I think I read this is a forearm.
I thought it was a forearm last year too. And
it might be.
Yeah, but I don't think he re-injured. I think he later in the game he was not in, but I don't think it was because of something terrible. I just think they took him out because he was dinged up and we were winning. Yeah.
Right.
But anyway.
Well, I mean, we definitely benefited from East Carolina not having nearly the talent that Texas A&M had, but it was good to see some emotion on that side of the ball. That's another thing that was sorely lacking against Texas A&M is I think it was after we went up 13 to 10, maybe we had kicked a field goal, and then we forced a three and out, and that was the first time our defensive group has had life all year, and it seemed to carry over for the rest of the game after that. We still gave up some plays. I mean, we gave up some chunks of yardage, but you know, definitely played better.
I think you're referring to the one punt we forced.
Right.
I think that's what you're referring to.
Well, we had two turnovers too.
Yeah, so. You're right, but we did force one punt. I'm pointing that out.
Right.
We did force a punt.
Was that the second one of the year? I know we did force a punt against Texas A&M.
We did. So. Two punts we forced.
And we blocked a field goal.
Yeah.
And we did. We did.
Yeah. So, all right, we'll get to special teams in a minute, but how about the offense? Interesting night on offense. Obviously, having Mike Davis back in the mix was helpful. Rush for 100 yards. You know, the Dylan Thompson thing, as you guys know, and as anybody who's read anything I've written the last couple of days, look, I know the guy's not anywhere near perfect, but man, people are calling for Connor Mitch. People are, you know, talking about having never seen him play, and talking about how everybody keeps talking about his accuracy and his decision making. And I'm telling you, when I went through and watched every one of his pass plays, I really didn't see a lot of bad on either one of those. You know, from a decision making or an accuracy standpoint. Again, he wasn't perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but he is what he is. And when you hear what the media who have seen practice and to hear Spurrier talk or any of the other coaches talk about the quarterback situation, to a man, they all say he is far and away the best quarterback on this football team.
Right.
And I believe that to be true.
Right. And even if you take everything at face value, everything everyone's saying, that he suffers from accuracy problems and he gets too hyped up and he throws the ball high at the beginning of the game and sometimes his decisions aren't the best, you know, we're moving the ball pretty good. That's not the problem.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know why that's everybody's focus. I guess you blame the head guy, and he's seen as the head guy. But
well, the quarterback always gets way too much blame, way too much credit. We all know that adage, but I just think these are, you know, we got a very large fan base, and there's a lot of new fans, and there's a lot of fans out there who don't really maybe get football as much as some folks get football. You're just going to have people that are going to complain about the quarterback. I mean, no matter what.
I think that's true, and part of it also may be that we really are paranoid about our defense, and we feel like we've got to score every time we get the ball.
Yeah,
there's and so it magnifies every mistake.
Yeah,
well, it does, but I mean, the guy's doing the job. I mean, this is exactly, I mean, through two games, this don't you? Wouldn't you guys agree that what we've seen out of Thompson is basically what we would have expected to see out of Thompson?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
I mean, he's missed some throws. He's made most of his throws. He hasn't been spectacular, but he's been steady. He's been solid. I mean, honestly, if you want to look at positions on the football team and assign grades to them, he's going to get the quarterback position is going to get one of the higher grades on the football team at this point.
Yep.
My opinion. Right.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, he's, I believe, third in the conference in total offense and third in passing yards. He's thrown one interception in each game. How many touchdowns? Did he throw a touchdown the other night?
Yeah,
he threw one.
He's got five total.
Five touchdowns. Yeah. So here's another thing I thought about today. For you folks who are ready to pull the trigger and see what Connor Mitch, number one, I don't even know if Connor Mitch is the number two guy for
right.
sure.
It might be
Perry Orth. I think we just assume it's going to be Mitch. But over the years, think about it. Every year we come in, Spurrier says, "Well, you know, we got to get that Smelly. We got to get him some snaps. We're going to get him in for a series or two." Or Garcia, you know, we're going to try to get him a series or two. Or Shaw, we're going to try to get him a few plays here and there, a series or two.
Except for what year?
Dylan Thompson. Yeah. You know, we're going to have to. You know, we'd like to get him a series or two. You haven't heard a peep about getting anybody a series or two, you know?
Yeah, so, yeah, but I mean, but think about this too. I don't know. I mean, I haven't heard as much of this outcry as you have, but of course, I don't scope Twitter like you do. But are people forgetting about the performance this guy put on in the Clemson game a couple of years ago and
yes,
other performances? I mean, the guy can play. You know,
yeah.
I mean, is he Joe Montana, Tom Brady? Heck no. But the guy can play. I mean, he can play. I mean, he's going to make some mistakes, but people need to get over this. I mean, really, these must be the same people who wanted him to play last year instead of Connor Shaw.
Over Shaw.
Right. No, it is. Right. It's the people that were complaining because Shaw was always tucking it and running.
Right.
And we're two whole games into the season, too. So, the offensive line was very impressive the other night.
We got a center.
Apparently we do. I mean, we thought it was Waldrop, and then we thought it was Stadnick, and now it looks like it's Allen Knott, who is going to be our center for a while now. But the offensive line just took over there late in the game, and we just decided to run it down East Carolina's throats and kind of had our way with them there at the end. But –
One thing on the set we were running there in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
We were all stacked up with extra personnel on the line, and then we'd put Pharaoh Cooper right behind the tight end.
Yeah.
Don't you know there is a play action pass right down the seam out of that thing?
Yeah.
Oh, and I just can't wait. I mean, I hope it happens this week.
Well, I did call. They did run a play action to Jarrell Adams there late, and I called that the play before. I said, there's no way Spurrier's not going to take some sort of
one
a shot here.
Right.
Yeah, just one. And, so good performance there. The guy who impressed me a lot the other night, and I'm not sure that I knew he had this in him, was Shaq Rowland on those screens. He looks good with the ball in his hands. I mean, most of what we have seen of him over the last couple of years he's been in the program are medium to deep routes, fades, things like that. We haven't had a chance to see a lot of him in the open field with the ball in his hands, and he looks darn good. And I remember, he was a great punt returner in high school, too.
Oh, yeah.
So I have to wonder if maybe he wouldn't get a shot at returning kicks at some point as well.
He's a tremendous athlete. I mean, you know, he's the number one player in the state coming out, and he could have gone anywhere and done anything. I got a question though about the offense. Everything everybody said. I'm kind of wondering. Would you guys agree with me that there's somebody who's not getting the ball, not getting in the game, and it's kind of a head scratcher?
Damir Bird.
Talking about Damir Bird.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just a don't rush him back from the knee. We're going to need him later in the year. I'm hoping that's what it is. I hope he's not hurt. I mean, he's getting some plays, but not like I expected him to get, you know?
Yeah. Right. But, yeah. I noticed that too the other day when zero catches. I think he was targeted twice. You know, he had the one touchdown against Texas A&M, but he only played I think I saw 17 plays against Texas A&M, and I don't know how many he played.
Well, there were times last year when he was the feature receiver, you know?
Right, he
looked very good doing it. So I think that maybe, hey, we've got these three guys who are number one, two, and three. Let's ease him back in a little bit, and you know, maybe he's not quite 100%. Maybe that's what it is.
Yes, I mean Saturday was Roland, Cooper, and Jones. Pretty much.
With some KJ Brent sprinkled in.
KJ Brent, that's right. Congratulations to him on his first career touchdown. Spurrier said he was going to be getting a look out there, and he sure did. Busta Anderson has been kind of off so far this year, wouldn't you say?
He's not hurting for any attitude. He's got plenty of attitude.
Yeah. So. I mean, he's had a couple of drops, and I don't think he and Thompson have been on the same page on some routes.
But, not worried about him. Yeah. Not worried about that guy. Yeah. At all.
Special teams, a couple of things we did. We blocked a kick. When was the last time we blocked a kick?
A 1978.
78.
I remember an extra point block.
Munnerlyn blocked one a long time ago.
Against Ole Miss.
Yep, and ran it back for a touchdown. Somebody did.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. That was Kentucky. It was Kentucky.
Yeah. And then Gilmore ran an extra point.
Nebraska.
That was extra point. Yeah.
Yep.
I think that's the last kick we blocked.
Somebody said it was like 11 we blocked one, but I don't remember.
Yeah. So that was nice. I tell you, Elliott Fry is –
Dude can kick.
Well, he looks like he has a height and distance on his kicks this year that he didn't have last year. I mean, he's got some NFL leg on him this year from what I've seen so far. He really gets the ball up high and looks good.
All-American candidate coming up. Hey, trivia question.
Yep.
We may have done this on the podcast before. I don't know. Who ran the last kickoff back for a touchdown for the Gamecock?
Matthew Thomas.
Yeah. Who are we playing?
Virginia.
Yeah.
You guys, see, I probably told you the answer last year.
No.
No, see, For you folks who follow us on Twitter, now you know one of the three of us who never goes on Twitter, because we were just tweeting that out not too long ago. Let's throw another trivia out there. Before Matthew Thomas, who was the last guy to return a kickoff for a touchdown?
Boo Williams.
It was Boo Williams. That is correct. I wonder what old Boo's up to now.
Wasn't good the last time.
No, it sure was not. So, G-Man, you had the opportunity to be on the field before the game. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that experience?
I did. I was the beneficiary, I should say, of an invitation from a friend of mine. Shout out to the USC professor who invited me down there. He had the opportunity to take some guys down, and I got the fourth and final ticket. But that was fun. I've never been on the field before for a pregame, and went down there, shook hands with President Pastides, talked to him a little bit in his Gamecock, Gamecock decorated pants and all that. He was all fired up.
Did you ever hear Spurrier explaining to the visiting coaching staff why we have the names on the ramps?
Yeah, we just painted that facade up there this year.
Yeah, I didn't get real close.
Someone's like, really?
That's nice. Yeah, he was out in the middle of the field. I didn't get close to him, but I was standing near some of the red shirt players and injured players. Those guys are huge. I was right next to Terry Guger and Blake McLean and Donnell Stanley.
Yeah, those you were standing. You sent us a picture of Donnell Stanley. He looked like he barely fit in the frame.
Yeah, those guys are massive, and I stood right there for 2001 when they came out. It was just a cool experience, and then got to sit on the 50, which is much different than my usual decent but not great seat. So it was a good time.
Good deal. Why don't you see if you can get us down on the field next time?
Yeah. And I'll work on that.
Yeah,
I'll work on that. Hold your breath. By the way.
All right, well, good performance by the Gamecocks. Let's talk about some Blitz Jewelry Rubber Chicken Awards. Who wants to go first? Who's been thinking about this?
I've got one. I've been thinking about it.
All right, go ahead.
This is somebody that the very beginning of the game, let's go back a week earlier, against Texas A&M, just got torched, was really worried about his confidence. And then at the very beginning of the East Carolina game, it was obvious that the coaching staff for the Pirates was going right at him. And he got burned a couple times, but he just kept making plays. He wasn't giving off any bad body language. He didn't look like he got down on himself. And by the end of the game, I felt like, you know what? I've got some confidence now in Rico San Andreas Sal Palio Antonio Dolly Cornelius McWilliams.
Nice.
Very nice. You made up for last week. You didn't need
last week I totally forgot about it.
Yeah.
That was one of your longer continuous put together names there.
San Andreas. Like the San Andreas Fault.
Yeah. Sal Palantonio.
Sal Palantonio.
Exactly. And then it ends with Cornelius. Just like his game did. It kind of starts broken like a fault line and
yeah, actually McWilliams and Gurley got a shout out from Spurrier today. I think both of those guys played a really good game. So, G-Man, how about you? How about your rubber chicken award?
I'm going to do something a little more traditional, and you kind of stole my thunder a little bit earlier, Buck. But I'm just going to give it to the whole entire offensive line because I thought that that last drive. I know it was East Carolina, and I know we didn't play very well.
Yep,
but. We got the ball back. They just scored, and the stadium deflated with that touchdown, you know, when they scored. Because first we had to kick a field goal to go up 14. Then they go down and score the touchdown. And everybody's thinking, oh, no, you know, here we go.
Right.
Well, we get the ball with around 10 and a half minutes or something
like
that.
More than that. It was more than that.
Maybe 12 or somewhere there. Yeah. And then we run, I don't know how many consecutive running plays, 12 or 13 or something like that, and just, you know, run the clock out, essentially, which we did a couple times last year. But even before that, think about how clean a pocket Dylan had throughout that game. I mean, pass protection was excellent. I know it's East Carolina, but those guys, for that game, they lived up to the preseason billing. And I was walking out of the game back to the car, and it was an East Carolina fan, and I were talking on the way back, and I said, you know, good game, nice try. I had a scare there, and he goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Those guys, y'all just leaned on us, and we couldn't handle it. The offensive line was too much." So that was the consensus. So I'm giving it to the O-line for my rubber chicken.
Right on. I'm going to go with Pharaoh Cooper. Here's why I was thinking about Shaq Rowland, but we talked about Shaq Rowland for a little while. He probably deserves one as well, but I just love the way Pharaoh Cooper plays football. I mean, he plays. I can't remember. I may have written it in Snap Judgments. He's just. You hear about defenders arriving to the ball with a bad attitude. Well, he's an offensive player who has a bad attitude when he gets the ball in his hand. I mean, he just seems like he gets pissed off when he gets tackled. You know,
that's good. On Davis's touchdown, I'm sorry to interrupt in the middle of the rubber chicken, but on Davis's touchdown, he pulled a Justice Cunningham. He blocked knocked two guys down at once.
Yeah.
Yeah, he blocks really well. You know what?
Fun to watch.
I wish the dude could play cornerback at the same time. He could be like your ideal two-way player, you know, or three-way player. But yeah, I'll tell you what he is. He's sort of like the successor to Bruce Ellington.
Yeah.
You know? Even though Ellington, he's a little more versatile. Well, maybe not. They're both about the same versatility, but he's a little burlier than Bruce. But as far as the attitude and sort of like the guy that the team sort of seems to rally around, he's kind of the Bruce successor, in my opinion.
Well, I've said this on about 10 different podcasts, but he reminds me of Randall Cobb.
Yeah.
And I hope he has a career that approaches what Randall Cobb did at Kentucky and is now doing for the Packers. So. All right, those are Rubber Chicken Awards. Speaking of two-way players, I will drop in real quick. I sent you guys a text message. I got the book, The Cadillac, yesterday. It's the book about Steve Wadiak, the one of three South Carolina players to have their number retired. He played in the 50s and tragically died in a car accident after he had been drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers. But I'm about eight chapters in. I got maybe about a quarter of the way into the book, and it's really good. So I'm hoping, you know, he just arrived at South Carolina, so I'll do either a, you know, maybe a book review on the on the blog, or maybe we'll talk about it again at a later date. But it's, you know, we've heard about this guy for years, and you see a picture of him and you see his number, and you don't really, you know, you don't get to know him. You know, we got to know Sterling Sharp and George Rogers and, you know, Connor Shaw and all these guys that we've watched play. But it's kind of neat to get to know this guy.
Well, before Rogers, Wadiak was the most celebrated player in USC history.
Yeah.
Basically. I mean, he was the best. I think he's generally known as the best player that ever played here before George.
Right. Yeah. So good book. So be on the lookout for it. I'll if it just turns really sour, I'll let you guys know not to read it. But
yep.
So far, so good. All right. Other games from the weekend. Did anybody pay any attention to anything? In the SEC, the only thing of interest was Vandy just getting drubbed by Ole Miss. They still have yet to score a touchdown so far this season. Every other SEC game, we're just SEC teams scoring 70 points against nobody. The Big Ten had a terrible weekend.
Miserable.
Everybody's been talking about how they probably lost their spot in the playoff. It looks like the only way they can get in is if Michigan State runs the table, and maybe they could get into the playoff. One bright spot, and T-Bone, I don't know if you noticed this, one bright spot for the Big Ten this weekend, Tanner McAvoy.
Yes, he is on fire.
What did he do? I didn't see this.
23 of 28 for 283 yards and 3 touchdowns, and also had 55 yards rushing.
Who did they play?
Western Illinois.
Oh, well.
But I think the score was like 9-3 at half or something like that. Right. So, but you know, still against any college competition, 23-28 for 283 yards.
Hey, they give out scholarships too, just not as many.
Right. All right, so here we are, the big bad Georgia Bulldogs coming into town on Saturday, 3:30 CBS game. Talk to me. What are your thoughts?
I got nothing.
I think that sums it up.
When I got back to the tailgate, this was the sentiment. I walked back to the tailgate, and there's all these guys that I know that are back in their cars, and I walked up and I said, one guy said, "So, how many yards is Gurley going to get?" You know what his answer was?
What?
As many as he wants.
Let's just talk about the Vanderbilt game. Okay.
I'm hoping we can hold him to the number of yards that Darren McFadden had, and
up to the tailgate too. We were getting ready to leave. We were talking about all the records, and I said, "Yeah, Darren McFadden's going to make an appearance."
I'm hoping he doesn't rush for as many yards as McFadden and Felix Jones combined rushed for that night in that game.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. You guys said it earlier, on defense, you know, you hear it all the time. We're going to put 8 men in the box and make Hudson Mason beat you. You know, they're down a couple of wide receivers. You can ask East Carolina. I mean, East Carolina knew what was coming Saturday night, and they couldn't stop it. So if we put 8 men in the box, are we going to be able to stop it?
Yeah, we're going to have to control the football.
The best, most important player to the South Carolina defense is wearing number 17, and I'm not talking about Chaz Elder.
We're
28, too. We have got to eat the clock. Our best defense next week this coming week is going to be offense, ball control, and then just hope that Gurley fumbles a time or two or something.
Yeah, you know, I tell you what though, Georgia, what I've read and what I saw in the Clemson game, they're sort of weak in the back. You know,
yeah,
I think their front seven is going to be pretty good, but I think their DBs are
That doesn't fit with the game plan I'm coming up with. That fits.
I hear you, but
I'm afraid we're going to go to.
You know the Spurs going to take a shot so against those young DBs. He's going to. But I think we need to hold the ball for 36 minutes, 37 minutes, something like that, to have a chance.
Well, it was encouraging to see, all the wide receiver screens on Saturday night. because that's as good as a running play right there for us. Yep. So if they do the same thing to us and try to, you know, stack the box on Mike Davis, you know, we've got options. We can run that screen play and we can take some shots deep when the opportunity presents itself.
We need some turnovers. We got two, but stranger things have happened, guys. You know, don't go, you know, we could win this ball game. I mean, they could drop the football. They could throw some interceptions. I mean, you know, we got a chance. We got to play mistake-free football and control the clock, and we got a chance. But, you know, I'm not optimistic, but we got a chance.
Right. Yeah. All right. You, G-Man, you're going to the game, I assume?
Oh, yeah.
T-Bone?
No.
Watching it with your bride? Is she?
I will be watching it with my Georgia grad bride.
Oof. Yeah. And she'll just be making fun of Steve Spurrier the whole time. Did she tell me this? Did she watch the Spurrier documentary?
She has not seen that. Although I tried to get her to watch a minute or two of it, but she has not seen that. There are still scars that run deep.
Yeah.
With a Georgia fan base and him.
She's just going to go to her grave. Hating,
yeah.
Probably. 11-1. You can't get past 11-1. I mean, that's just you know.
Yeah. So. T-Bone, what kind of Twitter questions did we get tonight?
You know, tonight on the Twitter feed, we have a few questions. We have from good longtime friend of the blog, John Michael Gunnels, at jgunnels27. He says, in the spirit of at Jorge Brosada, if TRC was a band, who would be the lead vocals, the guitar, and the drums?
I think this is pretty easy, but I'll let you guys go.
Looks like you're going to be answering it.
Well, I mean, I think I'm lead vocals.
You're lead vocals.
You definitely have the biggest mouth.
I think T-Bone is probably your guitarist because he is actually a guitarist.
Exactly.
And G-Man's...
And ukulele and mandolin.
And G-Man is our female drummer.
Exactly.
Oh, nice.
I mean, our drummer.
G-Man is Sheila E.
Sheila G.
Sheila G. That might stick.
Next question.
At Feathered Warrior asks, are y'all coming to the UGA game? We already answered that. And then he goes on to ask a follow-up question, which is allowed. We do allow follow-up questions on Twitter. Is Gurley finally the second coming of Herschel Walker that we've been hearing about for 30 years?
He might be.
Closest thing.
He might, if he stays healthy... yeah, I agree. He is definitely the closest thing because there's been
more. Yeah,
you know, it's been Jasper Sanks and right. Garrison Hurst and Garrison Hurst was a great running back, but he was no Herschel Walker. But
Rodney Hampton.
They've had some Lars Tate.
Yep,
remember Lars Tate?
Oh, yeah,
I mean they've had some fantastic
Worley. Remember
Tim? Tim Worley.
Mm-hmm. Tim Worley.
I mean, guys. Gary, what was the guy's name?
Cleveland Gary. No Sean Marino. I mean, they've had tons of good backs, but this guy's better than all of them except Herschel.
Yeah. You know, to be fair to them, Herschel's only the greatest college football player of all time, arguably. It's either he or Bo Jackson. Mm-hmm.
We got a couple of nice matching questions. One from Rickson Lane at Fast Lane Sports. If UGA doesn't score 20 this year, can we assume they parked buses on an Indian burial ground outside Williams-Brice?
I'd say that's a definite possibility.
And he's, of course, referring to the thing that's been all over the internet this week, the fact that Georgia hasn't scored more than 20 points in how long?
Long time.
94.
Long time.
And in 94, they scored 24 points. So, right.
And how much impact does that have on Saturday's game?
Zero. I told a different Georgia fan. By the way, at my workplace, I'm surrounded by Georgia and Auburn fans. There's a couple of Alabama fans sprinkled in there. So one of the reasonable Georgia fans was talking to me. He said he brought up that stat. You know, we haven't scored more than 20 points since 1994. Blah 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 blah. And he was in my office, and there was a hat on my credenza, and I turned around and I said, you see that hat? If you guys score less than 20 points on Saturday, I'll eat that hat when we come in on Monday morning. I'll eat it. I'll bring a knife and a fork, and I will eat that hat if y'all don't score more than 20 points.
You're going to start the next ice bucket challenge.
Right.
Hey, I want to go back.
The eating hat challenge.
I want to go back to your beginning of that scene description that when you talked about a reasonable Georgia fan.
Well,
I didn't know there were any.
They're reasonable until the game gets going.
Okay. Well, and this is the bookend to Rick's and Wayne's question. This one comes from Kyle Good at JK Good with an E on the end. Because everyone mentioned this week that Georgia hasn't scored more than 20 points in 20 years, do they indeed score more? And if so, how much more?
I think they will score around 27 or 30 points, personally. That's my call.
35.
You think 35?
Yeah.
G-Man, will they score more than 20?
I'm afraid so.
Yeah.
He's scared to...
I just call out a number. I can't get Kenny Hill and all those guys out of my vision. But, I mean, the only hope is that, again, Mason is not... I mean, he can't be Aaron Murray. And they don't have good receivers like they've had. And all these guys are hurt. I think they lost another one today or yesterday. So, we've just got to hope that we stop the run somehow.
Yep.
And then Kyle Good, not satisfied with one good question, comes up with the second Kyle Good question. Which number do you predict will be higher, Shaq Rowland's total receiving yards or the number of broken tackles by Gurley?
You know what? I'm gonna be optimistic and go with Rowland's receiving yards.
It better be.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is your Twitter questions of the week.
Nothing from Layla or Brandy or
not that I can see.
None of the ladies of TRC ask any questions this week. So, all right, well, good. Well, thanks everybody for sending in questions. You guys just don't watch any NFL, do you?
A little bit.
That Falcons Saints game.
You know, I watched the end of it because I knew you were watching it, and I figured I'd have something to talk to you about. I did watch the end for you.
That game was so good. And for people who don't really, for people who love college football and watch a lot of college football but don't watch the NFL or don't care much for the NFL, it is such a different game. The NFL is such a different game. I mean, those guys are so good. I mean, you want to talk about people want to bitch about Dylan Thompson? Fine. When you watch somebody like Matt Ryan, and Drew Brees going at it, and
that was something to see.
The plays, the throws that they make, the poise that they have.
Julio Jones in that game.
Julio Jones is not human. I mean, he's ridiculous.
Well, what about Megatron though? You talk about not human.
He had a great game last night.
He is. But I got a question though.
Yeah,
you're talking about NFL. How does Philip Rivers still quarterback for NFL? I watched the guy play and I'm like, how is he still doing it?
Well, you know? one of the McCown brothers is a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Tampa Bay.
Yeah. So, that's people are like, why does Connor Shaw not get a shot in the NFL? Yeah. And it's when you see guys like that, you have hope that maybe eventually Shaw will get a shot in the NFL, but there's so much talent, and the coaching is so good. The preparation, the game plans, it's just the problem is it's so good that it creates this parody that almost makes the games appear boring the majority of the game.
I would agree with you. The games don't, there's just not that level of excitement.
Yeah.
There's not as many big plays. There's a lot more of, just, I don't know, just slogging it out.
My way into it, the way that I'm able to actually get myself invested in NFL is follow college players, follow them in their career.
Yeah.
Follow guys that went elsewhere and didn't come to South Carolina and be mad at them still, even though that doesn't do us any good.
Yeah, you see in the NFL, the norm is 17 to 13, you know, 21-17 kind of games. That the Falcons, whatever the final score was, 38-35 or something like that. That's that's not normal for a.
So you're gonna start believing in the Falcons again. You're gonna do it again to yourself.
I gotta believe in somebody. And the Falcons are 1-0, so I'm on the bandwagon, baby.
All right.
So
they got the same problem with Gamecocks have.
No D. No pass rush. That's all right. I'll be hopeful until Sunday when they play again.
Yeah.
All right. Good show, fellas. Thanks, listeners, for tuning in. Again, therubberchickensblog.com, at RUBRChickens on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. It has now been 2,111 days. That's 2111 since South Carolina has lost to Clemson in football. I am Buck for the Rubber Chickens. We'll talk to you next week.